It's certainly good to see everyone that is here this afternoon, as already been said, to assemble once again to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I've enjoyed being here today very much and the hospitality shown, and certainly to get to know brothers and sisters of like precious faith. It's indeed an honor and a privilege to be asked to be your speaker, and I hope in some way that what I have to say will benefit each and every one that's here. As you see written on the board, I'd like to study for a little while a topic that I call Mary's attitude. And there's, you know, some things said about Mary Magdalene, but not a lot in a way. But there's some things I think that helps us to get a glimpse of her life, of what her intentions were as far as the way she lived her life, as she was following as a disciple of Christ and listening to his teachings, and following even to the point that when he was laid in the tomb and seen him after the resurrection. Well, I think there's an attitude of her actions and what she did, even though there's some things not said, but there's a lot said about her and how her attitude was and her very actions and how she lived her life. In John 20 and verse 17, this is a verse of Scripture that is somewhat puzzling at first glance, and I used to scratch my head and wonder what this was talking about, and I think through study, and there's some things that brings us out a little more clearly. But it got me thinking about the topic we're studying this afternoon, where the Bible reads, "Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God." You know, I used to think when I read this verse of Scripture that for some reason, after Jesus had resurrected, that he didn't want to be touched because for some reason he hadn't yet went back to heaven. That there would be some defilement if she did touch him. But we know later that he ate with the apostles, that he ate with the disciples, and later there was things that he done, ate common meals and things he done with them. So we know that he did after he resurrected. But for some point he said, I have not yet ascended to my Father. But what he's really saying here, when you look at this, and he says, touch me not, or don't keep clinging to me, is really what this verse means. Don't keep hanging on to me. And I think we can understand that. If we've seen somebody that we truly loved, a family member, somebody that passed on from this life, and all of a sudden, you know, there they were, what would be our first thing we wanted to do? Certainly would be to embrace them. You know, just to get a hold of him because we got to see him one more time. Now, Mary not only was Jesus certainly the master, the teacher, spiritually, but she had grown close to him, no doubt physically as well, as we have people and our brothers and sisters in Christ we can become fond to. We love them. And I think Mary also was this way. But he says, don't keep hanging on. And she also, no doubt, was seeing it was really him. It wasn't just a vision. Really, it was his actual body, and it was. He said, don't keep hanging on. I'm not yet going back to heaven yet. We realize that he was here for some 40 days after that. He was just in just a few short hours, he showed himself to the apostles. Don't keep hanging on. I'm not yet going back to heaven. But yet he was going to be here for a short while. We're going to notice this, or notice some points from this. But before we go any further, we have an honor and a privilege to go to God in prayer. So we ask everyone here to humble themselves in a worthy manner while we do so. The word touch here in our text, according to Thayer's Greek lexicon, is to fasten oneself to, adhere to cling to, or to touch. And I think that, as I said earlier, that, you know, Mary wanted to see if it was really the Lord, and no doubt to show her affection and was glad to see him. And that was in the physical sense. But us as well, as Christian people, I think that we need to have the attitude of Mary. That spiritually speaking, that we should really want to hang on to Christ. That we really should want to hang on to every word, every precept, every commandment that we have in the Word of God and do exactly as we're directed to. But so many times we don't really want to hang on, do we? Don't really want to hang on to Christ. We want to just reach out and barely touch sometimes. We get so busy in our daily lives that we lose focus sometimes. But we need to just really hang on. We need to hang on to Christ and do all that we can to direct our lives as Christian people. And that's the first point that I want to notice this afternoon. In Luke 8 and verse 2, this is talking about Mary when she was healed of seven devils. In Luke 8 and verse 2, it says, A certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, or in other words, Mary of Magdala, a certain area, out of whom went seven devils. I think this showed in her attitude as well when she seen Christ after he had resurrected, that she never forgot what Christ had done for her. As the seven devils, the evil spirits that the Lord had cast out, as she had heard his teachings and the things that he had done for others, as she seen the compassion that he had for his fellow man, as he worked tirelessly to teach others about the Messiah, about himself, and certainly of the things that he would endure. As she had seen all these things, and these things happening to him, and as he went before the trials, all these things, and certainly his life being taken, all these things, no doubt, she had seen, and she had never forgot the things the Lord had done for her. As Christian people, we should never forget the debt that is paid for us. That Christ endured the terrible cross, the beatings that he endured as they were hitting him in the face and saying, prophesy, who is hitting, as his eyes were covered. All these things that had happened, and Mary no doubt hadn't forgot, and as she seen him, wanted to hang on. So it should be with us as Christian people as well, that we should want to hang on with all our might to Christianity and do all that we can in service to God. In John 15 and verse 13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Of course, Jesus prophesying of his own self. As he laid down his own life, he was able to take it up again. He allowed himself to be certainly killed for the sacrifice of mankind. Do we know very many people that would be willing to give up their own lives to save ours? You know, I don't know very many. I would think or would hope that I know some, and maybe even my own brethren, that would stand in my stead. But, you know, there's just not very many that we would even think that they would do that, that they would place their life in danger. But Jesus said, no greater love hath no one. And Mary had witnessed this with her own eyes. And as she had saw Jesus after he had resurrected, no doubt wanted to hang on to our Lord. Ephesians 5 and verse 2. It says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Notice that. Loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know, he died for us. You know, we need to realize that he died for each person that obeyed the gospel and are faithful to him. And we need to look at it in that way. It puts it on a personal level, doesn't it? Yes, he died for everyone that will obey him. But we need to look at it on our own self sometimes and realize how important it is to hang on, to cling to Christ no matter how bad things seem to be, no matter how bad life gets sometimes, to realize the only hope we have is through Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 5 and verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He died for us. He died for the church. It's a blood-bought institution. And we need to realize and have the attitude to hang on, to cling to Christ and all for all that was paid for us. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith as of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said he died for me. And Paul even identified himself a chief of sinners. He realized the terrible things he had done to the church. That he had stood witness to people, their lives being taken, Stephen being one of them. That he stood there as they laid their coats at his feet. He witnessed his death. And he was carrying letters to Damascus that he might bind men and women and bring them back to be tried. And no doubt their lives, many of them being taken as well. And Paul said, he said that he was the greatest of sinners. But he realized Christ died for himself. And he worked tirelessly as a Christian, didn't he? When he realized the terrible things that he had done, but God had made a way that the things that he had done be forgiven. So he said he died for me. And I think we need to look at it that way. Not only on as us, but as a personal level, as he died for me. Look at it in a way that would make us want to hang on that much tighter to being a faithful Christian each day. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 57 and 58, it says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor in the Lord or that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The victory is in Christ. The true victory we have spiritually is in Christ Jesus. And so many times it seems like that when things happen in life, the first thing we want to do is just kind of back up, don't we? Bad things happen in our life and we think, why me? Why is this happening to me? We realize with trials, build patience, doesn't it? You know, we don't always, I was talking earlier, we don't always understand why it happens. But it builds patience. It builds endurance as Christians. But when we realize that if we're faithful unto death, there's true victory in Christ in it. That's the only true victory we have. Unmovable, here he says, brethren, to remain steadfast, unmovable, firmly persistent. There's no place to quit. We just keep on moving. Move toward the cross, toward moving and hanging on to Christ, following His exact example, and doing all we can as Christian people. The labor in the Lord is not in vain. It results in nothing. You know, there are a lot of things that I've done through my life that, you know, I may find things that I enjoy. Certainly, I enjoy seeing my children grow up and as they're learning, and I'm glad to see the things they're doing, things that we all enjoy to do. But you know, the only true things that will really follow us into judgment is certainly is living a Christian life. This labor, whatever we do in the work of the Lord, isn't vain. It's going to follow us right into judgment, and certainly looking toward heaven. You know, whatever we lay up for retirement or whatever we have certainly isn't necessarily wrong, but it's going to run out one day. You know, one day all this life will be over, but the labor in the Lord will follow us right on through. It is not an empty work. Secondly, I think Mary's attitude also was to obey. And it's a simple example here, but Jesus told her to go and tell the apostles that He had arisen. Now, that doesn't seem very difficult, but yet I want to notice that right quick. John 20, verse 17, our text, and verse 18 also. And Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and to your Father, and to my God, and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that He had spoken these things unto her. Now, at first glance, you know, that didn't seem very hard. Wouldn't all of us go and tell those that Jesus had risen? But if you look at that, they were in hiding. They were trying to they knew that they were most likely next, as their very lives would be taken. And so Mary just went and told Him. You know, it wasn't, if you look at it in that aspect, it really wasn't, you know, her life was in jeopardy as well. But she went and told Him. You know, sometimes the Bible tells us things, it doesn't seem very hard to do, does it? You know, it's not very hard to obey. But there's some things that sometimes it pulls us back a little. We think, boy, that's just a little bit too hard. But, you know, whatever we do in life, we are to obey. We're to show our allegiance to Christ. And I think Mary's attitude, it shows that she was going to follow the Lord, no matter what it had to do. He said, but go. And that's what she did. She obeyed Him in that. John 14 and verse 15. Very simple verse of Scripture. I try to teach my children this, but yet there's a lot to it. John 14 verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Observe my commandments. You know, that's, you know, a simple verse. It doesn't take very much to even memorize that. But yet, you know, when you start checking and looking, you know, that's a very strong commandment. We're to observe everything that the Bible teaches us. You know, if we take away one thing or add two, it says in Revelation that the plagues would be added to us. We're to observe every commandment. John 15 and verse 14, it says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. Jesus said, you are my friends. If you do whatever. I think Mary's attitude would be to obey. It shows in her actions and what she did, even though as simple as it may seem. And as I said, isn't that in our lives? You know, some things didn't seem very hard. But some things seem a little more difficult, doesn't it, in our lives? But yet we're to obey. We're to do exactly. James 2, verses 20 through 24. Here talks about Abraham. As he was about to sacrifice Isaac. Now that, you know, you try to put yourself, you know, we just read through that and we just kind of expect it because that's what we know that's what happened. But yet if you try to put yourself, at least I try to reflect and put myself in that person's shoes, you know, how would I react? You know, if that was my son, if I was about to take his life, You know, my son that looks to me for the provider, for the caregiver, for one that looks out for his interest. Was it any different for Isaac? Was it any different for him to look to Abraham and expect complete protection? And his life was about to be taken in his own hands. But yet Abraham obeyed. He was going to do exactly as God was going to have him to do. James 2, verses 20 through 24. It says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seeing thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see how then that by works a man is justified and not by faith only." Now in John 15 and verse 14 it says, "Ye are my friends if you do so whatsoever I command you." It says Abraham was considered the friend of God because he obeyed God. Because he done exactly, no matter how difficult, no matter how easy it may seem, he expects our complete allegiance to him and obey him in everything. Abraham, as he was no doubt taking the young lad to the place that God would tell him the word of sacrifice, as they were traveling along, and Isaac would ask, "Where's the wood, Father? Where's the sacrifice, Father? Where's these things?" And he said, "God would provide." Can you imagine how hard it would be to choke those words out? And certainly after his hand was stayed, after he told him, he knew that he would obey, a lamb or a sacrifice was provided. But his obedience, he was considered a friend. And Jesus said, we are considered friends as well when we obey him. Matthew 7 and verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock." The solid foundation. The foundation that we know is true. You know, there are a lot of people in religion this day, and even sometimes even those that consider themselves Church of Christ, that pull away from the solid foundation. They follow after doctrines of men rather than upon the sand, rather than the solid rock. I think Mary's attitude would have been to obey. At least her actions showed that, didn't it? John 12 and verse 48, it says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." You know, when the books are open, you know, it talks about in Revelations the book of remembrance. You know, whether or not that's a literal book, you know, I don't know. But I do know that God has a way to remember our actions, whether they're good, whether they're bad. And there's a recording. He knows what we've done. He knows everything we've said, everything we've done. And so as well, there will be judged according to the words. We know that in the patriarchal age, that Abraham and Adam and Noah will be judged according to during their time. That Noah was found righteous in his generation. So under the law of Moses, and now under the Christian age, it will be judged according to during the period of time that we live. And Jesus said, "By my words, you know, my words will judge you." And so we must realize that if we ignore it, if we choose to not obey it, then we will be judged accordingly. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 20, it says, "Despise not prophesying." Of course, during this period of time, the Bible was still being written. And they were inspired men that were able to pin down what was declared through the Holy Spirit. But the Apostle Paul says, "Despise not." This means to make of no account, to despise utterly. Is it any different now if the Bible is being taught, if we reject it? If some brother or sister comes to us and they say, you know, this is what the Bible teaches on this subject. You know, Paul told Timothy to rebuke with all long suffering. You know, we really show love for our brothers and our sisters in Christ when we show them out of compassion, out of love, with meekness and love, where they're in error. That really shows our love and our devotion to them, and certainly looking after their eternal soul. But when we despise, when we don't want to listen to someone, when they do that out of love and out of respect and certainly wanting to show us where we're in error. Now, it does not mean, you know, we are to pull the beam out of our own eye. But Jesus said that when we get our own life straight, we're able to help our brother, aren't we? But he says, despise to make of no account. Any scripture we need to follow and do exactly as it is, as certainly as it is taught. In our worship, in our lives, in every point, we're to obey. You know, here recently in the last month, there was a couple of men that obeyed the gospel in recent months. And they really, they've got a handicap. They're not able to read. And if you, you know, and certainly, you know, that's that happens from time to time. But they can't read. So really, you know, if you think about, you know, you can't read the Word of God. And we know that that's what instructs us, what leads us in understanding, and that's where our faith comes from. So we've been studying and reading with them and trying to show them the truth and about how they should live their lives. They have obeyed the gospel. But one of them missed the services. They missed morning worship and for a trivial reason. Matter of fact, he went fishing. But we realized he didn't understand. You know, we tried to explain and tried to went through, but, you know, there was so much things they didn't know. And we tried to make them understand and help them to understand that they needed to assemble. And so as I went to them and was showing them through the Word of God, Hebrews 10 and 25, it says, not forsaking the assembly as the manner of some is. Not neglecting the assembly. You know, we have no example through the entire New Testament where Christians were allowed, were they allowed to miss the assembly for trivial reasons. Certainly, the Apostle Paul couldn't assemble when he was in prison. Or if someone's on their way to church and their car breaks down, that's not an intentional thing. In Hebrews 10 and verse 26, right after 25, it says that if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Willful sin, willful neglecting of the service, certainly is wrong. We should always do everything that we can and not let anything get in the way of that. That we can possibly, you know, providentially hinder, or things we cannot help is out of our control. But things we can help, we need to realize and obey. As I was talking to these two brothers in Christ, and they said, you know, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was in there. You know, just make you about want to cry, because, you know, sometimes we read things, but we just ignore it. But as soon as these men knew that that was wrong, they quit doing it. And so I think we could, you know, certainly myself, I really paid attention. When they knew it was true, knew it came from the Word of God, they were ready to obey. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's a very serious thing. We see so many people, maybe it's our family, our loved ones, those in the world, in our communities where we live, that really pay very little attention to the gospel of Christ. But the vengeance of God will be poured out. And brethren, I think we need to bring it to their eyes so much more. I think we really need to let people realize where they stand in eternity. As I see so many folks, we were talking about this at lunch, that they get so busy they really don't stop and think about where they stand spiritually. We need to look for every opportunity. When people are sometimes at their lowest, start thinking about their spiritual life. And we need to really seek those opportunities in telling them about the gospel, because the vengeance of God will be upon those that obey not the gospel. Romans 12 and verse 19. It says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, we try to, or at least I try to understand what the vengeance of God would be like. And I don't think our human minds would exactly, you know, understand that. But I do know that His vengeance will be poured upon those that do not obey Him, and those that choose not to, certainly not to become Christians, and Christians as well, that do not follow His will. Thirdly, I think Mary's attitude as well was as a disciple, was to be a follower of Him. The word disciple means a learner, a pupil, or a disciple. And you know, when you look at this, Mary didn't really know what life would bring. She didn't really know what laid ahead. And so it is with us as well. We don't know, you know, what our health will be like. We don't know what things will happen through life's way. You know, when me and Shannon got married, you know, she didn't, neither one of us knew, you know, if we were going to have children, what would happen, you know, and whether we'd have a son and daughter. You know, some may compare us to her being, if our marriage was a rose, to her being the bloom and me being the thorns. But, you know, certainly we realize that we're in it for the long haul, that we're stuck together, so to speak. So So it is with the Christian life that we should realize that once we obey the gospel, that the true victory to being faithful unto death is where it's at. And we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how bad things may get. We don't know how bad things will happen in our congregations. Sometimes things happen. And it gets to be a struggle from time to time. So as Mary was hearing and following after Jesus, she heard his teachings. She had been healed of him, of devils. And she had followed him through the crucifixion and certainly at his burial. In Matthew 27 and verse 56, this is talking about the crucifixion. It says, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joses, and Mary of Zebedee's children. She was there. And Jesus had been prophesying of his death, but most of the time they didn't understand. They didn't know exactly what he was talking about. But she didn't know all these things. At least, I don't think it was registering. But she stuck with it. When others had forsaken him, when others had left, she stayed right beside him. She followed right on through. She was a true follower, wasn't she? She was a true disciple. And so it should be our attitude as well. No matter what life has to bring to us, to follow and do exactly as we need as Christian people. John 20, verse 16. After the resurrection, Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master, Teacher. You could imagine as she had listened to Jesus' teaching and heard him time and time again, and to hear his voice again. She said, Master. You know, she followed. She was right there after the resurrection. She was still, when others were in hiding, she was still right around close to where Jesus' body was. Matthew 26 and verse 56. It says, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. John 6 in verse 66, it says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know, that's, you know, sometimes in the church from time to time, you know, things happen. And someone will forsake or they will leave the faith. You know, it happens. And certainly we are to try to bring them back. But, you know, we know what happens. And so it was when Jesus died, many of them left. Many of them, some of them didn't come back anymore. But Mary's attitude, she followed no matter what happened, no matter how bad things were. And I realize we live in a sheltered environment. Some of the congregations, our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, doesn't have the same privileges we have to assemble into as we do this day, at least without being harmed. And certainly they are to assemble each Lord's Day. In Matthew 10 and verse 24, Jesus said, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. What's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, you know, you're not better than me. You know, you may suffer things. There may be some things happen in your life that you really didn't expect, you didn't want. And maybe it's because you are a Christian. You know, maybe it's people at work, at school, whatever. Maybe it's just verbal abuse or persecution. You know, even those things sometimes will pull us down. But whatever the case may be, it'll be worth it, won't it? The Christian life, if we live faithful and to judgment, it'll be worth it. And certainly it is the best life, the most wonderful life we can live. And we need to look at it that way. Matthew 16 and verse 24. It says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Take up our cross. You know, Jesus, the intention here is that even to the point of our life being given, be a follower of mine. Whatever the direction of life may go. You know, I know, as I said, we live in a sheltered environment, but we need to have that attitude. That no matter how bad things get, even in our own family sometimes, I've seen some very bad situations. But yet faithfulness to God, faithfulness to Christ as a disciple is what it takes. And Mary's attitude, I think, was that way. She followed him, obeyed him, and wanted to hang on to him. And I think we need to hang on to him spiritually as well. I'm ready to bring the lesson to a close. There may be someone here that has never obeyed the gospel of Christ. If you haven't, why don't you do so? The Bible teaches that our faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. In Romans 10 and verse 17, we must believe. In Mark 16 and 16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. We must repent of our sins. In Luke 13 and 3, Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We must confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. In in Matthew 10 and verse 32, Jesus said, "He that confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven." He must be baptized for the remission of sins. In Acts 2 and verse 38, "Where the Jews there said, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter answered to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins." In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. If you've done this, and you're a Christian, you remember, you realize you've sinned of a public nature, you must repent of your sins, as in Acts 17 in verse 30. You must confess your faults, you must have the prayers of the righteous, as in James 5 in verse 16. If we can help either one in either case, we beg you to come forward while we stand and while we sing.